Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project is underway here, an opportunity for us to give you a half hour of commentary and analysis. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union in Albany, with Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio.
Hi, Rex, my good friend.
Hi, dear Alan, old pal, old buddy.
Amazing
old...
what happens when the microphones come on.
And there is Ira Fussfeld, longtime publisher of the Daily Freeman in Kingston, New York.
Hello.
Hello. This program has a new slogan. We are now going to say that the Media Project is fair and balanced.
That's available.
Yes, it's no longer the slogan of Fox News.
Because so many people had made fun of fair and balanced, because it's anything but fair and balanced, they decided, along, you know, the Murdoch kids are taking over, Ailes is gone, and all of that. I'm sure they spent a great deal of money thinking up the new one. And the new one is?
Most watched, most trusted. Yeah, here's what strikes me about this. This is a very Trumpian slogan. This is like part of the change in the world to the world of Trump, because instead of talking about the values of Fox News, purportedly fair and balanced, false as that may be, now this is about, hey, I'm the best. I'm really great. Most watched, most trusted. What happens when their ratings fall and they're not most watched? For example, isn't Rachel Maddow number one?
Yes, it's already happening. I think they still have the most viewers overall during the course of a full day, but the evening hours, MSNBC has passed them. So both of those, most watched, most trusted, require asterisks with the footnotes on them.
Right.
You know, guys, it is so interesting to watch how, as Trump gets more unpopular, MSNBC, which is the antidote, gets more popular. I mean, here's Fox positioned on the far right. Here we have MSNBC on what we might call the independent left, and CNN in the middle. Nobody likes the middle. They like their views confirmed. So do you think that as things change, if a Democrat gets elected and is unpopular, then Fox gets to be more popular?
Well, it's already happened. MSNBC was doing well when Bush was in, and then it went down and Fox passed them when Obama was in, and now it's going back the other way.
Great point.
It happens, though. Now, you make a point about CNN, which overall is true, but when there are big news events happening in the core demo, adults 25 to 54.
Those are the people who have money to spend?
Yeah. CNN will lead the way when there is big news happening. For example, when the attorney general testified, when Jeff Sessions was on, there were, let me just see if I can get the number right here. Well, this is the thing. Neither NBC nor Fox broadcast network broke into the regular coverage, but Fox News had the most viewers overall, 3.2 million, followed by CNN and NBC, each with 2.2 million. But in the core demo, CNN was number one, followed by Fox and MSNBC. But of course, the broadcast networks were a lot bigger than any of them.
So Rex, what do you, or Ryra, teach me here, what do you make of the importance of the core demo in terms of winning? In other words, why is that so important? I mean, when these are people with expendable income, that's what MSNBC, NBC, and everybody else are looking at. But why should I care about that?
The average viewer, you mean?
No, Rex.
Only because that's where the money is. You know, that, right, the networks that care about that. So
viewers couldn't care less who's won.
What I'm saying is eyeballs, it seems to me, total eyeballs. To me, Alan Shartok of the Media Project, to me, total eyeballs is much more important than core demo. So what do I care if they're making money or not after from their advertisers?
Well, I would say that the young, the most coveted demo is important, A, because of their buying power, and B, because
but that's to make money, right, Ira?
But B, because they're going to be around. That Fox, for example, their demo skews old. Their viewers are dying out. The young viewers are watching the MSNBC and CNN.
I have an answer to your question. Why does it matter? It matters because the people who make the decisions on programming are influenced by whether they're making money. So if you're the president of Fox News and you're number two in the key demographic, you're not making as much money, and you're going to think, huh, what can I do to get my boss more income?
And what can Fox do?
Well,
change its slogan.
Well, it must be a part of it, right?
What I find interesting is that CNN, which is generally regarded to be, as you pointed out, the middle of the road, the most objective of the three cable news outlets, is the one that is taking the most vitriol from the Trump administration. They don't go after MSNBC so much, but they're constantly going after CNN in ways large and small. Outwardly, certainly, the other day when he had the Rose Garden press conference with the Romanian president, he put CNN and the New York Times reporters in the back row.
Well, maybe that's like, I mean, since we have Dr. Chartok in the room, he can speak to this. Maybe that's like
the authoritative allocation of scarce resources.
I was thinking of your academic experience. They always advise teachers to do what you can to raise a B student to an A student and say to the C students, well, they're not going to be able to improve anyway. So maybe the president is trying to school to give it the most positive spin. Maybe the president's trying to do what he can to help CNN become better.
He's very benevolent.
Wow.
Yeah,
do you know where Jason is? As in, hasten, Jason, bring the basin.
So what do you think of this comment? Being interviewed on Fox Business, there was a congressman, Representative Jack Bergman, who was a witness to the Alexandria shooting. He essentially blamed the media. Bergman was saying that hateful rhetoric helped to fuel incidents like this, and the anchor on Fox said, "So, you think it's the media's fault?" And Congressman Bergman said, "I think the media is complicit if they keep inciting instead of informing." So,
well, you know, this is so interesting. I mean, what does that mean, inciting? There's an event, you cover it. Does that mean you're inciting because you have covered an event? I don't get that.
No, I think he means that the rhetoric overall over a course of time on the purported left-wing stations is sparking the flame that creates this kind of incident.
And not on the right wing?
Not
the Foxies?
And by the way, it wasn't just that Congressman Bergman. Newt Gingrich said similar things on one of the Fox channels. Yeah, and there have been, social media has been citing the left as the reason for this. But as you point out, what happens when it's the right-wing guy?
Well, so does it apply to the Megyn Kelly interview with Alex Jones? Just to set the stage for this, Alex Jones is this hard right-wing
nutcase.
He is the guy who claims that the Sandy Hook shooting was staged, as well as the 9/11 attacks. Although the president of the United States, the man who's now president, went on Alex Jones's show and actually called him from the White House once he got in and thanked him very much. So now here's the question. Is it appropriate for Megyn Kelly, for NBC News, to interview Alex Jones and give more airtime then to his hateful rhetoric?
An interview, but which, by the way, if you're listening here in our home base area, it will air at 7 o'clock right after this program goes off the air
on NBC. Yeah.
Well, the answer is the Supreme Court has said there are limits to freedom of speech. And I don't know that I've ever thought I would say it, but is there a limit when you yell fire in a crowded theater? No, the court says no. You can't do that.
No, the court said you can. There are limits on what you can do, but does Alex Jones reach that by being...
Yes. Yeah, he does, because he says Sandy Hook was made up. Those poor parents with those wonderful children who got wiped out by this bastard who was really a nut. And I know that there will be people who write me letters and say you can't use the word nut on the radio, but he was a nut.
And shooter, not Alex Jones.
No, that's right.
Well, Alex Jones is a different kind of nut.
Alex Jones now comes along and says that it was a hoax. I have a 3-year-old who got wiped out, or a 5-year-old, or whatever else at Sandy Hook. You mean to say that's okay? No, it's not. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not okay when somebody comes along and says the Holocaust was a hoax, because it wasn't.
But how does that square, Ellen, with what you were just saying, attacking the congressman who blamed the media for the shooting in Alexandria? You were then, a couple of minutes ago, advocating the press's right to report what's important.
Well, no, because there's judgment involved in all of this stuff.
Ah.
You know, you and I, Rex, have talked many times, and Ira, about false equivalency. You know, the idea that if you take somebody on the left side, if you take somebody who says, okay, you know, there was a Holocaust, what? Now, reaching for the absurd, you take the other guy who says there was no Holocaust and you have to put him on in order to have a balanced news program. No, this guy, Jones, is offensive to our society and you don't let him do it. Now, how about Skokie? Remember that? Whether or not people could walk down the street and yell Nazi slogans in a Jewish area.
And that was upheld as an expression of freedom of speech, as is burning the American flag, upheld as an expression of freedom of speech. However repugnant we may find these things, the courts say that's right. But we're talking here about journalistic judgment. And so it's a reasonable point of view for you to say that this is bad journalistic judgment on the part of NBC. I don't agree with you.
You don't?
No.
Could you please explain your reason?
I would be very happy to. I think that Alex Jones is a despicable character, and I'm just appalled by the things that he says. But somehow he has millions in his audience, and he has the respect of people, including the elected president of the United States. And you don't deal with that kind of a reality by pretending it doesn't exist.
Journalism's I'm not pretending
job,
anything.
You are if you're ignoring it. Journalism's job is to expose what's going on, is to say, here's what is, not the world that we wish it were. You know, we all wish that there weren't, not we all, we all in this room wish that there wasn't an Alex Jones out there, but there is. And one of the ways to, as the great Justice
Potter Stewart
said, the best disinfectant is sunlight. So bring light on this, shine light on this, and that's the way to really kill it.
I'm going to say to you, it is a fair and balanced argument that you are making.
Wow, well, that's a good concession. And I say it's a very difficult call. I do agree with Rex ultimately, but it's a close call because, you know, by putting this guy on NBC, you're giving him a platform and you're exposing him to millions of people who have never heard him before.
So, Ira, do you think it's being done for the public good? It is not. It's being done because Megyn Kelly needs to take on 60 Minutes, which, by the way, she's not doing even with their reruns. So she has to reach further and further into the manure pile to bring somebody on.
Well,
now, you know it's all about money and ratings.
But it's not generating goodwill for her. She's still, they've lost some advertisers for this show.
I don't
care. But your point is that she's doing it for the ratings. Well, she may not get ratings and she may not get the advertising because people are complaining about an interview that hasn't even aired yet. I think that ultimately, for me, the balance tips in favor of doing the interview and exposing this guy and trying to, hopefully, she's going to ask tougher questions than when she interviewed Putin. Was it Putin some weeks
ago? Yeah, she failed in that one.
And even before that, she interviewed somebody on a primetime special she had for Fox that was very softball. I'm hoping that she is going to put this guy on the spot and that people are going to see him for what he is.
You know, and I agree with Alan at some, let's see, what was it you said that I agreed with? It was about this being about marketing. I think you're right. This is about trying to get the ratings. And look at, we're all talking about her. And you're right that she didn't beat CBS 60 Minutes, her first outing, when her first
and they were playing reruns.
Program debuted. Yes, but of course it was a new show, however popular Megyn Kelly or however well-known Megyn Kelly may be. To take on the longtime ratings leader, 60 Minutes, is a tough assignment. But here everybody's talking about her. I think it was very much with an eye on the ratings when they decided, hey, let's bring on Alex Jones and see what kind of controversy that generates. But it also does, you know, sometimes good journalism does actually have a good marketing result. And I think, I mean, I really want to know, what is it about this guy? How does it happen?
So which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, good question. I would like to have been in those conversations at NBC News and had a sense of what really went on there.
Sometimes people go too far in reaching for the ratings. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, so Bill Maher uses the N-word on his show.
Yeah.
And has been apologizing for 2.5 weeks since he did that.
Yeah. It's obviously stupid. I think Bill Maher forgot that he's not black, you know, and it was
A black person could do that under the conventional rules. Maher could not.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And so he went too far, and sometimes that
You're
happens.
You're always trying to throw a little bit more red meat, and that's how these guys get in trouble. Because, you know, the Rush Limbaughs and all these other guys, they have to compete with each other for who is the meanest and who throws more red meat.
And so with all of that rhetoric coming from all different sides, do you say then that the critics are right, that the Alexandria shooting or other violence that may have been right-wing instigated can be blamed on media and on commentators and people like these?
Wait a second. I'm a little bit confused here, Ira. Why is it right-wing instigated?
No, not this one. Oh, Alexandria was not, but others have been.
Yeah.
So, and we pointed out Bill Maher on the one side, Rush Limbaugh on the other side. There are any number of other examples. So is the media properly being blamed for this?
You know, we have to cover what went on. I would disagree with the decisions by the cable news channels to air live these Trump rallies. But I think you have to cover the fact that hateful things were being said during those Trump rallies in the campaign.
Well,
right?
Well, Mr. Rexsmith, you run a very fine newspaper, the Albany Times Union, or the Times Union. And the thing I don't understand about what you're saying is that you make correct decisions, but moderate decisions all the time. You don't take the red meat and put it on the front page. You may put it on page 2 or page 3. That's called using your head, using your noggin. You're more interested in doing what's right, I think, than doing what is going to get you, you know, a few more papers on the newsstand,
well,
maybe.
That's kind of you, but it's easier for us to make that decision than it is if we were, and the same thing happens here. I mean,
I deny it.
I love, you know, this is
a Groucho Marx line.
Thoughtful stuff.
And a Mario line. Mario's, I deny it.
Whatever it is. You know, thoughtful reporting, but what would we do if we were in the executive suite at NBC News or at Fox News or on the cable channels we were just talking about coverage of the campaign, and you knew that airing live this event that's going on with then presidential candidate Donald Trump would just generate huge ratings, what would you do? And you could justify it by saying, well, it's what's going on. He's the rising candidate. Shouldn't we do it?
You are absolutely right. Thank God I'm not there. I'm somewhere else. And, you know, we make here at WAMC, the news division primarily taking the lead, makes decisions all the time. Should we carry Comey's testimony live? Yes. Should we carry Sessions live? Yes, we should. Should we, you know, do something that is really terrible? The answer is everybody makes up their mind every day.
That's right. Actually, and you've made the point that you would have had probably more listeners to ask the vet, the call-in, when you do the call-in show on Vox Pop in the afternoon than you would have had by airing the Comey testimony.
Well, but there are serious issues with Ask the Vet.
Exactly.
I mean, why does my dog eat his own poop? And it's asked over and over and over again.
I was trying to give you a compliment, you know, and I don't even get a chance. What can you do? It's the Media Project, by the way, from Northeast Public Radio. Alan Shartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Rex Smith. That's the professor, the publisher, and the editor. And if you want to share your point of view, media at WAMC.org is the way you do that. And we'll read some of your comments. By the way, out in Syracuse, I say out in Syracuse because that's what you say when you're sitting in Albany, where we are. But for folks who are listening to this show in Indiana or Texas or wherever, Syracuse is in the middle of New York State somewhere. A court security officer handcuffed a reporter for Syracuse.com and the Post-Standard after the reporter took pictures of an arrest in the hallway of the Onondaga County Courthouse. So here's this reporter assigned to cover the courts, and a fight breaks out outside a courtroom where there's a jury trial underway. And the reporter takes pictures of it and suddenly has a court officer coming up and saying, "Give me that cell phone, turn around," and the reporter turned around and got cuffed.
And therefore made the rest of the reporter's career forever because the jerk put him in handcuffs.
Now, he was not arrested, and they let him go within 10 minutes, but
yes.
What was the court officer thinking? Is he simply ignorant of what the law is?
Or? I would presume he's just stupid.
I think that the problem is that somebody put up, apparently, in that Onondaga County courthouse, some signs saying no pictures. That actually, you can't do that, certainly not to the press. I don't think you can do that to anybody. And so apparently this guy was poorly trained, let's say. But
well, there was a similar issue in Washington that seems to have come and gone very quickly. But there was a word had gone out that reporters and cameras were not allowed in the hallways of the Senate office building. And we've all seen, you know, the senators stopped by reporters and many press conferences would occur. And I guess I'm not quite sure who put out the original order, but it was reversed rather quickly after the reporters protested it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the Rules Committee in the Senate is examining what the rules are, according to a spokesman for Richard Shelby, the senator who's the chair of that committee. But they say, well, reporters should operate as they were operating yesterday. But it appears that there is some pushback against reporters. Now, to be fair to the folks who operate the press galleries and who are responsible for the hallways of Congress, there are a lot more reporters right now than there were a year ago in Washington.
Which is always interesting.
who gets credentialized and where they get put, as we said in the beginning of the show, sitting down. Now, we know that Trump is furious at the press, calls it liars, calls it the enemy of the people, and does all those despicable things, and puts the New York Times and the Washington Post in the back of the room rather than up front, because he's a petty, mean-spirited man. So now we see, what is our duty? The Washington Post is breaking great stories, including the fact that Mueller, the ex-FBI head who is now the special prosecutor, is thinking about investigating Trump for trying to interfere with the wheels of justice. And that is terribly important. So the Washington Post says the story, and who do they go after? They go after the leakers. They always go after the leakers. The leakers are the problem. That's wrong, they say. That's a terrible, terrible thing about law. You shouldn't be allowed to leak, even though what you're leaking is totally and absolutely despicable.
Yeah, and you know, that becomes the story then. By the way, we were talking about Fox News. Fox News always focuses on the leaks as being the big story.
Well, that was what Trump's lawyer's person said after the report had been revealed the other night about the investigation of Trump by Mueller. He didn't deny the facts. He just blamed the FBI for leaking it. By the way, I don't know if there's any proof that the FBI leaked it, but that was the line.
Right. In fact, it suggests if you read between the lines the way that initial Washington Post story was phrased, the five sources seem to be lawyers for people who are being called into the special counsel's office.
But with that said, Rex, we do know, as I saw a screening the other night of, you know, Robert Redford and all, and we do know who Deep Throat was in All the President's Men. It was the deputy director of the FBI. I mean, you know, that's a very good presumption that that's where it's coming from. And I say, God bless them.
Yeah. Yeah. So the difficulty is you don't want to shut down, back to the notion of reporters doing their job. You can understand why it's sometimes even hard to get around in those old hallways. Those buildings were built in the 19th century, most of them, the 20th century in the case of the Senate office buildings. But it is sometimes really actually cluttered these days, hard to get around. And yet what's really going on here is an effort to shut down media coverage. And I think we're going to see more of it in the aftermath of the shooting in Alexandria, because there will be more claims that we need to focus on the security of our members of Congress, and that is going to translate to cutting down press access.
And we only have a few seconds, but I want to say something really quickly. At the same time this terrible action was happening in Alexandria, Virginia, and a congressman was getting it in the hip, there was another case in San Francisco in which one of these delivery services, a guy comes in, and murders three people. It's about fifth in the news at night, as opposed to number one, that the congressman come first.
And here's what's really going on in Washington, of course. Behind closed doors, the Senate is putting together a health bill that, based upon the House version, would take away insurance coverage for 23 million Americans. That's what's going on behind closed doors, and that's the story that doesn't get told because of our focus on these other things.
Well, it's unfair for you to say it doesn't get told. It is told. That's how we all know it. It's been on the news any number of times, but it certainly doesn't rise to the top.
Well, but we don't know what's really going on. We don't know what the bill is actually going to be because they're keeping it secret, and we're unable to get into
it. Good point, Rex.
On that.
This is about as friendly as he's ever been to you. Right?
I feel
it was a lousy show. We ought to try it over.
Yeah, it has been a lousy show.
Warm all over. But you know, listen to us again next week, and we'll see if we can do better. Thanks for joining us on the Media Project.
Oh, you remember Mrs. Sadie Smuggery? She wanted money to buy a new fur coat. To get insurance, she employed skullduggery.
The Media Project is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Alan Chartok is CEO of WAMC, Professor Emeritus at the State University of New York, commentator, columnist, and author. Rex Smith is editor of the Times Union. And Ira Fussfeld is the Publisher Emeritus of the Daily Freeman. You can listen to or podcast The Media Project anytime at WAMC.org or just download the WAMC app for your iPhone or Android at the Play Store today. Thanks for listening.
Their policy's an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go
to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.